when Jesus Christ was left by his disciples, when they were, after Judas kissed Jesus, the soldiers came and the disciples left. So I am left alone here. Thank you so much, brethren, for the opportunity to be here. I would like to thank Pastor Elsen. We started our friendship there at Lake Perry Seventh-day Adventist Church, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. This is my first time to be here with my wife. And we take it also an opportunity to be here together when we spend Sabbath, because it's our opportunity to be one in a car rather than during weekdays, because we separate ways after 7:30. She goes to her work at Veterans Administration, we in that clinic as a nurse practitioner, and so she's busy doing her work, and I also go to the conference. But during this time, we come from Redlands, so it's a long way coming here, 1 hour and 30 minutes, so it's a good way of talking with each other when we don't have that opportunity during the week. Now, I'm glad to hear that you acknowledge as church members, as a family, and you say you are not perfect. The doctrines of the church is perfect, but we as individuals are not perfect. When we start acknowledging that we are not perfect, it helps us to accommodate each other, to understand each other, and that's how we can grow in Christ. Amen. Now, our reading, and I'm glad that Pastor Elsen have chosen reading in the, where is that bulletin? I like the reading that we have today. Where did I place it? Yeah, thank you. He quoted our spiritual reading today from the Contemporary English Version. And that is very close to our topic today, because our topic is care as Jesus cared. Amen? Amen. Care as Jesus cared. And in this Contemporary English Version, it says, care about them as much as you care about yourselves. Amen? Amen. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves, and think the same way that Christ Jesus thought. This is well said. That is very fitting to our topic today. Now, when we study this, we have some passages earlier than this and prior to this. Earlier and after this. Kindly open your Bibles also so we can read the other versions or passages in Philippians chapter 2. Because in verse 1 it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Although we have not met before, but we seem to be together for a long time. Yes. And thank you for the welcome from the pastor, from the first elder. We have the Swahili word to welcome us. Thank you so much. And we feel we are one. When we go to different places and we meet our fellow members of the church, we immediately feel at home. In fact, when you are in your home country, it is always a practice that you are easily getting acquainted with a person and you feel comfortable when you are invited to their home and stay with them. If you are a guest, you can stay overnight without charge, because you are one in Christ. Amen. That is how we feel with each other. And in verse 3, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Now, when you look at the example that Jesus Christ did when he was here in this earth, you can see how he cared for those who need care. And even for those who needed care, he was so tender to them But he had to emphasize something so that the truth can prevail. But when they were sick, he healed them. In one instance, when after Jesus Christ healed the mother-in-law of Peter, you know, when you have a mother-in-law and you care for your mother-in-law, you are willing to invite someone who can help your mother-in-law when she is sick. But when your mother-in-law is bad, you don't want her to be healed. That's why one son-in-law one time was asked by the embalmer, "What shall we do with your mother-in-law who died? Shall we embalm her? Shall we, cremate her, or shall we bury her?" And the son-in-law, who was not happy with his mother-in-law, said, "Do all three." But Peter had a good relationship with his mother-in-law, and so he brought Jesus. And bringing Jesus there, Jesus was so tender and compassionate, he touched the mother-in-law of Peter. And Peter's mother-in-law was healed. And then later part of that day, there were so many sick who came into the house. And according to the Holy Scriptures in the book of Matthew, all those who were sick were healed. And so, in fact, in the Desire of Ages, it is emphasized there that there are places when Jesus passed by that all were healed. And so that was a wonderful spirit that Jesus had. He had compassion. You know that even though we are not like Jesus who can heal the sick, let the eyes of the blind man see, we are not like that as Jesus did. But we can do tender things to our fellow man. Even our words matter. How we say our words. When we say, "I am not perfect," you are not perfect. When we say to each other, it means that we want the person to accommodate our imperfection, right? And when that person says he is not perfect, he or she wanted us to accommodate her imperfections. So when we work together, words matter. If you recall one, I think you have not recalled because this story, I learned it, I have not told you this before because this is our first time. But I happened to be a pastor in one of the churches in the past. And a church elder told me about his story when he was in Hawaii. He was sick. That almost rendered him incapacitated. And finally, he was dying. When he was dying, the choir director visited him. And he said, the choir director said, "Brother Felix, don't worry, I'll take care of your wife." "Don't worry, I'll take care of your wife." And so Brother Felix said, "I tried my best so that I can be healed. Because there is already someone who is willing, interested to take care of my wife." You know, although those words may not be encouraging, but somehow it motivated him to be alive. Motivated. Any husband who will hear somebody is interested when you die. He made himself so alert. Let whatever the doctor say, he followed so that he will be alive. You know, words have effect in what we say. Look at the words of Jesus Christ. When you look at the records of the book of Mark, no, the book of Mark is part of our study throughout. It's the center of our study throughout this quarter. There are many things that you can learn there. And the book of Mark is a very important book for you to study. It's actually the of all the four gospel books, that is one that is filled with action. It does not waste its time talking about genealogy. Matthew did. Luke did, but not him, Mark. He immediately went into action. And in fact, he portrayed Jesus Christ as a man of action. So every time Jesus Christ came to visit or heal anybody who was sick, there is that word that Mark used, immediately he was healed. There was that word in another instance, immediately, because he was saying that Jesus Christ was tailored for action. Now, looking into these verses that we are looking in the book of Mark, there are many things that are part of our study in our Sabbath school lesson. And I encourage you always to study your Sabbath school lesson, read every night, so that you will be acquainted more of the Holy Scriptures. You know, when our Sabbath school lesson is not just out of the mind of anybody. They are theologians, and they are arranged and well done so that it can benefit us as church members from time to time. So here in the book of Mark chapter 5, there was a man whose name was Jairus, came to Jesus, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. I'm reading verse 22, chapter 5, book of Mark. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Is it not encouraging? Yeah. Jairus said that his little daughter was dying, and he said to Jesus, "Please help me, because without you, my daughter will die." And he was so encouraged, because the Bible says, verse 24, so Jesus went with him. That act alone have given joy to the heart of Jairus as Jesus followed him. However, as our Sabbath school has used also this word, the sandwich of the story, someone touched Jesus at the hem of his garment. Now, I'm not going to tell the details about this story because it's part of our Sabbath school lesson. But this is something that I have found out in this story when Jesus Christ, after scrutinizing, because he wanted this woman to reveal what God has done for her and to show her faith, and that Jesus would like to recognize her faith publicly. But this is how Jesus Christ addressed her. Which thing have made me impressed? He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." She was healed. But then when Jesus started his sentence, did you notice what he said? Daughter. Daughter. Now, after the event, which was actually the sandwich story, because the story started with Jairus requesting. Jesus went with him. But then there's a story in between, because this lady have touched Jesus' attire, at the hem of his garment. Then Jesus finally continued to travel with Jairus. And when Jairus was traveling with Jesus, finally they were there in the house of Jairus. And this is, let's move the story fast. When Jesus was there with a child, this is what she said. Jesus said, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Now, to that lady who was suffering for 12 years, he called her daughter. To this little girl, he did not just say, "Get up," but Jesus told her, "My little girl, Talitha kum, get up." Now, my responsibility at the conference is not only vice president for the Asian Pacific churches. Almost every Sabbath, I visited churches who are Asians and Pacific Islanders, Samoan, Thai church, Korean, Japanese, Filipino, Indonesian. These are the churches that I regularly visit every Sabbath. And in fact, this coming Sabbath, I'll be in an Indonesian church to install a new pastor. Now, in my responsibility, I also have a responsibility in the conference, which is called Disabilities Ministries Director. So let me share to you how we will be able to minister to disabilities. So this is the one that I would like to share with you. In connection as Jesus cared, we also need to care. even in words. You and I cannot say as Jesus did, rise up and walk. Take up your mat and walk. We cannot say that. Or if we say that, the Lord may have a special miracle that it can happen. Amen. But Jesus, with confidence, can do it. But how we treat with those who have disabilities matter also. There are lessons that we can learn from Jesus Christ. To that lady who was having disability, he called her daughter. To that little girl, he started by addressing her little girl. Person first. Don't forget that. Can you say with me? Person first. That's it. Person first. So when we see somebody who has disability, we start him as a person. Amen. So when you describe a person with disability, like for example, he is a hunchback, do not call him hunchbacked. You start with a person and make these words using person with spinal curvature. That is how we need to address them. If there are persons who are having difficulties in their physical bodies, we can say, start it with person. What word shall we say first? Person. So when we have a person with physical disability, we say he is a person with physical disability. When there is someone who is we think he is crazy, we do not say that guy is crazy, although that's commonly used, he's crazy for a joke, but that's not normal. You want to better use the word that person has mental disability. When you have seen somebody who others may call mongoloid, never use that mongoloid. Call him a person with, how do you use that word, with syndrome? Down syndrome. You use the word person with Down syndrome. A person who is blind is not just that guy is blind. He's a person who is blind. Start with person. Describe them as person. Now, when you talk with these people who have some physical disabilities, do not just consider them as second-hand persons or they are deprived persons. Consider them just like as you are. In fact, interviewing and talking with many people or persons with disabilities, you see, to them it is normal. They are just like a regular person, so don't pity them. Practice what we call the golden rule. Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. In fact, they will be happy if they will be given responsibility. We don't know if we have persons like this. We have different, because when you use already eyeglasses, you have some sort of disabilities of eyesight. Because without the invention of eyeglasses, our sight will be limited. So in the church, whether one has wheelchair or whatever, or cane, you may assign them on whatever responsibility that may fit them. They don't feel that they are limited because of what they have. In fact, a wheelchair is an extension of their body. Do you touch any person's body? No. That is why when you touch, do not just touch a wheelchair. You may touch a wheelchair with his consent or the person's consent. It's an extension of their body. And so that wheelchair should be respected. When you offer a help to them, wait until they will give you their consent. Do not just, I will help you. That is not what they expect. Because to them, they can do it. And so you may offer. When you offer, you can just wait until say, okay, please. They are okay when you shake their hands. Even though if they are incapable on the right hand, it's okay for them to accept or to offer a left hand handshake. These are good things that we need to learn because we need to care as Jesus cared. This is not even equal to what Jesus can do, but this is good enough for us to show respect with our fellow men who are persons with disability. There are many persons who have disability who are able to overcome these difficulties. Have you watched the closing exercises of the Olympic Games in Paris?
No.
Yeah, I tried to review how did it happen during the closing exercises. There was one actor, you know him, Tom Cruise, jumped from the highest part of the building. Yeah, of course there was something that he held. But I was reading on his biography. He has also a disability. He's a person with disability. He cannot easily understand what he is reading. That's a disability. There are other actors like that, but they tried hard to overcome their difficulties. There was another. So one time, back to Tom Cruise. There was one time that he was acting, driving on a racing car. He could not memorize, so he placed it in the windshield, the words that he needed to speak while he is running. Put it in the windshield, and it has caused an accident during that trip. He is one who does rather than having a stuntman instead of him. So there are many people who have been having these difficulties, but they tried their best to overcome. An encouragement for us, don't put limit to what you can do because of any disability that you have. And never call a person handicapped. He has handicap. He is handicapped. Please don't use that word handicapped. Simply use the word person with disability. Person with disability. It might be emotional disability. It could be physical disability. But better use that word first, person. And then focus on his ability, not on the disability. Listen to the person behind his disability. When you talk to him, do not ask, what happened to you? It's not good to be asking what happened to the person. You may just say, you know what? If you want to tell me your story, I am here willing to listen and interested to listen. That's how you can open the conversation so that the person may share with you whatever he needs to share or excited to share. And they will be happy to share about them. But then think of them as persons. Helen Keller was one who became blind. He became blind in childhood. And she tried to overcome. And she was able to do many things still to the world. There is one who, I'll try to remember the name, Frida. Think one who is a Hispanic lady. She had a polio, and then she also met an accident that have her body suffered so many injuries. But then she continued, and she is a well-known painter. There are many people who are having disability, but they try to overcome. And so things that we do, the words that we say, the things that we act to them, and how we treated them can encourage and motivate them. There was, when I was in the Philippines, there was a church member whom I met before. And then in another city, we met. And in English, we can say, oh, we met before. And this person who is blind was a good carpenter. Good carpenter. Better than a skilled carpenter. He is skilled in carpentry. And when we met, he simply said, I saw you before. Don't be surprised when they use this word saw or see, because that is part of their conversation. And don't laugh at it. These people will really appreciate if we address them as persons rather than persons who are downgraded or considered as just minorities in the community. They are even entitled with equal pay. They are even part of those that are respected in our government, that you could not just not accept an employee who is an applicant because of the person's disability. It is prevented in our government to disqualify a person because of his disability. Let me share with you. So if there is anyone who is suffering in your community, this story is something that is motivating. The story of, let me remember that name, Bethany Hamilton. Is this name very familiar to you? She lives in Hawaii. And when she was 5 years old, she started learning about surfing. And one time when she was 13, surfing, and then later on while sitting on his surf, she was bitten by a shark on her left arm. She did not feel pain immediately. But then she called for help, and she was trying her best. According to the record, 60% of his blood were lost because of that incident. And they were about a quarter of a mile before the seashore. Quite far, a quarter of a mile. There on the seashore, she was helped, brought by an ambulance to the hospital. And then in the hospital, they learned already that there was an ambulance coming, carrying this lady whose hand was bitten by a tiger shark. I think 40-foot tiger shark. While she was suffering on this, there was already someone that's the only available place in the emergency room, somewhat like an operating room. There was a man who was about to have a knee surgery, and then the man was approached, we have to give your bed to the other person. We have a 13-year-old coming, and that 13-year-old has been bitten by a shark. And this man said, who could that be? No, we don't know. We only know that the person is 13 years old. And then the lady, that 13-year-old girl, came. And the man, whose bed was vacated, was the father of that 13-year-old. You can see the coincidence. So he vacated, and then the daughter was there. So many stitches, so many surgeries were done. And in 26 days, she was back to surfing. I saw also this lady in the interview of the Ellen DeGeneres program. And you can be impressed of his spirit, because she said, you know why I went back? God must have a plan for me, which is special and unique for me. And Ellen asked her, are you not afraid that you go back to surfing? She said, no, I don't think God has a plan that I will be beaten twice. God must only have allowed only once. a wonderful faith that this lady has, this 13-year-old. And so she continued doing this surfing. After 2 years, she got first place in the women's division, national champion in the women's division, in the Explorer women's division in surfing. First place, 2 years after. About 5 years after, because she joined already the World League, she got second in the Association of Surfers Professionals, ESP, world level of the women's division. She got second. Now, if you want to invite her to be a speaker here, she is willing to make a testimony. Pastor Elsin, we just ask the contact information. I have the contact information. And also the fee. The fee is $40,000 up to $74,999. So if you can afford that, she's willing to come and and speak before you. And you just arrange with that contact information, and she will come, and you will arrange with the fee between $40,000 to $74,999. She is now a popular motivational speaker, testifying about what the Lord has done, that in spite of the limitation that she had, she continued, and the Lord has blessed her. Amen. According to volume 3, page 155 of the Testimonies for the Church, it said, our crosses, temptations, trials, whatever challenges that may come, varied trials in our lives, God has allowed it to refine us, to sanctify us. Maybe it's a good passage. Let me read to you. Afflictions, crosses, temptations, adversity, and our varied trials are God's work meant to refine us, sanctify us, and fit us for the heavenly garner. Volume 3, page 115. Another quotation from Sister White, My Life Today, page 240. In all your transactions with your fellow men, never forget that you are dealing with God's property. Be kind. Be courteous. Respect God's purchased possession. Treat one another with tenderness and courtesy. Let your life be controlled by the wide, generous principles of the Bible, the principles of goodwill, kindness, and courtesy. Amen. May the Lord bless us, and may we continually grow in grace, and may we continually consider each other as one who needs our care. Even those who have no disabilities, even persons who are not on disabilities, they need care. We need to love one another as Christ loved us. Amen. God bless you all.